3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
That is, of course, local time. It's 19:30 UTC, where you live. Don't believe me? Check your clock. My name's Tobe, and this is the Dubious Goals Committee. And today, I'm going to tell you all about what happened to me today. I woke up pretty early this morning, mostly because I went to bed fairly early the evening before. And I did so just because, well, I was kind of tired, but I knew it was going to be warm today. Unseasonably warm, like, you know, in the 70s Fahrenheit, or even a little bit higher. I think it might have touched 80 today. But anyway, I wanted to get up nice and early so I could go out and try to find some animals. You know, they tend to like the mornings. And so I ate some breakfast as fast as I could, and I threw on some clothes, and I jumped in my car and I drove down to the wetlands. And I was happy because there was nobody there, and when there's nobody there, that's your best time for catching any animals. And so I walked in there, and I could, as soon as I started walking into the little forest, I could start smelling something like muskrat. Muskrat is a pretty stinky dude when he wants to be, so I thought, hey, alright, the muskrats are out. So I kept walking through the forest, didn't see anything except squirrels and birds, and then I got to where the water is. Oh, and everything's just filled up with Canada geese. There are geese everywhere, and they're just, you know, chasing each other around and going, you know, goose ballistic because, alright, open water, it's fun time, let's mate. And so I didn't manage to go out onto the boardwalk because once I got to the part where the path changed to boardwalk, there was some geese sitting on the boardwalk, and I didn't want to hassle them. They looked peaceful and looked like they were having a good old time just hanging out there, so I just turned around and left. Because what I realized was, you know, I'm not going to see any marmots here today just because there might not be any here today. You know, for the last 2 weeks, I've been checking holes. There aren't even any cleared out holes. And so I thought to myself, self, where am I going to go? I'm going to see marmots today, no matter what. I'm going to spot the first mott of the season. And I thought, oh, I just need to go out to Tranquility. I need to go to this park that is actually just down the street from the wetlands. But it is upstream about, I don't know, half a mile, maybe a mile. It's north, it's upstream of the wetlands. And in the past, meaning years gone by, it seems like I've always seen marmots there first. I'm not sure why. Well, I have plenty of theories why that is, but you know, it doesn't really matter. So all you need to know is that there's boatloads of marmots. And so I went to this other place, and so I drove over there real quick. It doesn't take 3 minutes to drive from the wetlands to this other place. And I got out of my car and I started walking back on the trail and doo-doo-doo, walking to where the marmots should be. And I checked out all my little mushroom places, and there's no mushroom action yet, and there won't be for a little while. But I like to check where all the myceliums are, and I also like to look for new downed branches because I know all the trees that have mushroom mycelium growing in them. And so if a big branch falls off, I know that there's going to be mushrooms sprouting on that branch in a couple of weeks. So I was looking around for that and I found a bunch of that kind of stuff. And I was super happy going, yeah, all right, it's going to be a lot of oysters over here today or this year. And there's going to be some other dudes up there and they're pretty happy about it. So I thought, okay, I gotta start paying attention. And right when I start paying attention, that's when the path kind of edges up next to a tiny little creek that feeds into the big creek that's down a ways. The big creek that runs by both these places and feeds the wetlands, etc., etc. Actually, the wetlands is fed by a spring, but technicalities. And so anyway, I'm thinking, all right, I got to look down into the stream and look along the blanks, along the banks, and look for Mati footprints. And I was looking and looking, but I didn't see any. And I thought, that's weird. There should be some here. This is where I always see some. And I kept moving up the bank, and then I saw some prints, and I thought I was looking at Mati prints, but I couldn't tell because, like, some dog had run around along the same area, and so his footprints were sort of covering up the Mati prints, and I couldn't tell if they were Mati prints or if they were raccoon prints. And so I kept walking, and I started walking to the area where all the holes are, and I'm like, all right, as soon as I round this bend, I gotta start looking into those holes because I'm gonna be able to see holes, and and there's a hole coming up. And there's this one hole right by the path. And so I came around the bend, and I came into sight of that hole that's right there and right next to the path. And guess what? There's somebody in that hole looking right back at me. And so I sneaked up a little bit closer, and he's still looking at me. And I take a picture. And so I sneak up a little bit closer, and he's still looking at me. So I take a picture, and I sneak up a little bit closer, and he jumps into the hole, and he disappears. I seize you, Mati. This is the first Mati of the season. So I ran up there, and I ran up the little trail, and I got sort of on top of his burrow, and I could see his exit hole. And sure enough, about 3 seconds later, he stuck his nose out the exit hole looking at me, and I'm like, hi, Mati. And I took a picture of him. And then he ducked back into the hole because they're not expecting you to say anything. And so I sat there and I watched that hole for a little while, and I saw him stick his nose up a couple of times, but he was a little spooky, so I thought, okay, I'm just going to leave this guy here. I know he's here. I can come back and watch him if I need to. And so I turned my camera off, and I kept walking up the trail where there were more marmot-y holes. And so I looked in all those holes, and I didn't see any marmots, and I didn't see any tracks. And I basically didn't see Jack. And I even went up to this other den that's right at the end of the path. And I almost find a marmot in that den every year. But so far, this it wasn't cleared out. No marmot. And there was still sticks and leaves and junk in the holes. And I thought, oh, okay, no Mati in here yet. So I went back to the Mati who I was taking pictures of before. And I took some more pictures of him, and I got some great ones because I was hiding behind a tree, and he knew I was there, but, you know, if they can't see you, they're less threatened. So if they only see the top of your head in a camera, they don't freak out quite as much. So I managed to get really close, and I got a really good picture of him. He's digging. He's got dirt all over his face, and he's like, woohoo, I'm the diggingest dude. And I'm like, yeah, you are, homie. So then I walked back down the trail to where the creek gets really narrow, and I was able to jump over to the other side, and I walked down this other path that goes by the creek that flows into the creek. It's hard to explain without drawing you a map, and you can't see maps on the radio. And I started looking at other holes, and sure enough, hey, what's that big lump far away underneath that tree? And sure enough, it was another Mati, and I took a picture of him far away, and he was pretty big. And I got a little bit closer, and he jumped into his hole, so I ran up real close and then started watching his exit holes, and pretty soon he popped out of the exit hole, and he's like, hi. And I'm like, hey, Mati dude, click, take another picture of my Mati. And I told him, hey, you're the second Mati I found this season. And he was like, all right. And then it was sort of starting to get too warm for me, so I got back in my car and I went home. So, the good news is that the moths are out. The Matis are out. I spotted two moths today. Two moths, hooray! I found the two Matis I was looking for. I knew I was going to find some Matis today. I woke up knowing that I was going to spot the mott today. And I did. That's how awesome I am. I am the mott spotter. Yes. And then when I got home, I was like, okay, I better take a look at some of these motty pictures to see if any of them are any good. And so I took the card out of the camera and I put the magic card into the card reader and I plugged the card reader into the Pi and started looking at pictures and I opened up the card and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot there's some pictures on here I took the other day that I haven't looked at. And there's three pictures of turkeys. Because last week sometime I was driving around in that same area down by the wetlands and there's some turkeys that live in the ravine above the wetlands. And when you're driving home, when I'm driving home, sometimes I can just drive up and, hey, there's turkeys standing right there. And I just drive by with my window rolled down and take pictures. Click, click, click. The pictures don't turn out very well, but hey. So, not only are the turkeys out, and they've been out for a while now, the marmots are out. And I like marmots. I'm probably going to have to go to the Arboretum tomorrow because when I was at the Arboretum a day or two ago, or three or four, however long it's been now, I did find some holes that looked like they were starting to get dug out. So I will go back to the Arboretum and check these holes again to see if they got further dug out. And then I will just sit by the hole and see if there's any motties. What ants live in the hole? Because that's where motties live, in the hole. I'm going to write a book on how to spot motts. How to Spot a Mott by Tobe. Step 0. Find a hole. Step 1. Sit down by the hole and wait. Step 2. When Motty comes out, take picture. You just spotted a mott. That's how you write a book about how to spot a mott. I can spot a marmot from at least 100 meters away. Last year I spotted one from that distance, and that second mott that I spotted today was at least 80 meters, maybe a little bit more, but probably less than 100 meters, but I spotted him. And then the first mott I spotted today, he was only about 30 meters away when I spotted him. So, it wasn't quite as long range of a spot, but still, I can spot them. And that's the trick. You gotta know where to look. And if you'll remember my instructions from a minute ago, look in the hole. The motts are in the hole. Motties like to live in the hole. Marmots, marmots, marmots are good and everybody else sucks. And I spotted two marmots today. I'm so happy about it. The first motties of the season. I spotted them early. This is pretty early in the season to be spotting motts. I'm still pretty excited about it. I'm so excited about spotting motts that I have no idea what else I'm going to talk about on this show today. So while I try to think of something else to talk about other than motts and mott spotting, why don't you listen to some of this?
I hate you all so much.
No one cares, Figgis. You're only invited to round out the numbers.
You gonna be a fluffy binker? Meow. Yes, because you're a baby.
Welcome back. Hello. You're still listening to the Dubious Goals Committee right here on and on radio. My name is Tob. I'm the chairman of this committee. And I'm running it into the ground. I was out spotting motts today, if you remember from the beginning of the show, and you might like to know that my cat is even looking for dudes right now because it's so warm here that I've got the back door open and she can sit up on her bucket and look out the door, look out the window of the door, and it's just a screened-in window, right? So she can smell the air and talk to the dudes, and it's about this time of year that the raccoons and the possums start to show up on my back porch, so maybe that'll happen tonight. Woohoo! More dudes. It's extremely warm here. So warm that I've got this window open, and I decided to open up the other back door as well, the one down half a level on the other side of the house. So now I got this airflow going through my house. I'm pretty excited about it. It's the first time I've had fresh air in here since who knows when. And it smells like air. Plus I can smell somebody smoking something, and there's some people down the street who like to smoke stuff. And what else can I smell? Somebody might be doing laundry. I think I smell dryer exhaust, you know. It smells like laundry freshener. Smells like fabric perfume. It's so warm today that I couldn't even drink tea because it was making me too hot and too itchy. And I started getting cholinergic urticaria on my arms. And so I had to drink a nice cold icy drink. And so I've got, can you hear it? Those ice cubes rattling around in my styrofoam cup. Ooh, full of peach mango Kool-Aid. Let's take a sip. Mmm. It's so mango-y. Mmm. Oh, it's so good. And so mango-y and a little peachy. And it's nice and cold. Oh, so delicious. In football news! In case I didn't mention it yesterday, Tottenham and Arsenal fought to a 2-2 draw, meaning they only get 1 point each, which means Leicester goes 5 points clear at the top of the table. I'm pretty excited about that. What is there, 10 games left to play? Oh boy. I'm pretty excited. It would just be the greatest Cinderella story ever if they were to win the Premier League this year. Oh, that would be so awesome. I would be jumping up and down. I would be a happy, happy camper. In cat news, because of the warm weather and Pip is so excited and she thinks she wants to go OSD, and she's not around, and I'm going to say this really quietly so she can't hear me, but OSD is code for outside. We can't say that word because she knows that word, and if you say that word, she thinks she gets to go there. And she likes to go OSD, even though she's an indoor cat, because she likes to run around and chase birds. She thinks that's the funnest thing ever. Just runs back and forth in front of the bushes, hassling the birds that are in the bushes. It's always fun to watch. But today she was jumping up on the counter, so I had to open up the windows on the counters so she could look at birds and yang at them and say, "I'm gonna get you, birdies." And I was trying to record her today, and I only got about 7 seconds worth of anything. Just, you know, her. I'm talking to her, and she meowed again, and we were having a great conversation until I went to get the recorder so I could record her talking. And then, of course, once you stick the recorder in her face, she thinks, "Oh, what is this?" And then she starts smelling it. Oh, it smells interesting. Yeah, so you can't put a microphone in front of a cat because they think, "Oh, you're giving me something." They don't understand. No, you're supposed to talk now. I guess they don't know what to do with the microphone because they don't have thumbs. How are they gonna hold it? Oh, poor kitties. Can't open the windows because they're crank open windows. Gotta have thumbs. Can't hold the mic because you gotta have thumbs. Oh well. So I'll try to get more kitty on the radio when I can. Although one of these days, real soon, I will take her outside and she'll chase the birds around and then she'll get all dirty and her feet will get all dirty. And then that just means we can bring her inside and give her a kitty foot bath. Kitty foot bath is pretty fun. You don't have to wash the whole cat, you just have to wash the feet. And so, if and when that happens, and that'll happen pretty soon, you can rest assured that I will record it so you can hear my cat in the bathtub right here on the Dubious Goals Committee. In food news, I've been eating a lot of applesauce lately. And I'm not sure why, other than, yeah, I might have mentioned it the other day. I saw some in the store and I thought, okay, that's easy to deal with. I'll deal with it. Plus, it has an interesting cap. And so I bought some more of the applesauces that have the interesting cap. And then I will save those caps because they look like, I don't know, like spaceship engine cowlings or something. So I'll glue one to the bottom of an aspirin bottle and make it into a spaceship. Because that's what you do. Just take normal stuff and glue more normal stuff to it, and pretty soon you got a nice spaceship model. That's how they did it in Star Wars. That's how they do it on the Star Trek. And you know, that's one of the great aspects of space modeling. You can pretty much just build whatever you want and glue a bunch of stuff to it, and it's a spaceship. It works out real good. And that's why I have tub upon tub full of things like plastic bottle caps and caps to other things and plastic blisters from packaging. I literally have at least a cubic yard of this junk, what normal people would call trash, what normal people throw away. You know, I see these things and I think, oh my gosh, I could make a blank out of this. This would be perfect. Oh, here's an example. Recently, I've been using some disposable razors. I was unpacking a box of junk and I found like a package of 9 razors in it. I only used like one, and these are like 10 years old or older. And I thought, oh, I might as well use these up. And you know, they're the cheap blue kind with just 2 blades and no lubricating strip or anything like that. And they come with a little plastic thing that fits over the head. Well, if you take that little plastic thing off, and you know you're supposed to throw it away, but now it's a perfect little computer console in 1/72nd scale. So I'm like, wow, okay. When I build a spaceship, I can put a couple of these up on the bridge and have some guys standing by it operating the computers. That's the way you gotta think if you're a modeler. That's the way you gotta think. You gotta look at stuff and say, okay, what is this smaller? Or what is this bigger? If this thing was life size, what would it be? And that's how I build stuff. Divergent thinking and application. I recommend it to everyone. Now that I think about it though, why am I saving all these spaceship model parts? I don't build any spaceship models, really. I got a lot of work to do on my AWI table, my American War of Independence gaming table. I've got to make some, what's the word I'm looking for? Some redoubts? Is that the word I want? I need to make a fortified position for a line of cannon. And this means that I will cut up a piece of foam and then I'll glue some matchsticks to it to look like lumber. And maybe, you know, put some other sticks on it, and I will then cover it in tea leaves and other stuff and paint it, and it'll look like the ground. And I'll cut out little spots where the cannons go, and pew, 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 they can fight and shoot each other all they want. In 1/72nd scale, up in my war room. Oh, and it occurs to me I still haven't done a war room show, but I don't know how many people really want to hear all about my little games. Well, how many people want to hear anything that I normally ever talk about? You never know. So eventually I'll get up there and do some of that, and you can learn about all these crazy little games that I play when I'm not doing this awesome radio show. What awesome radio show is this, you might ask? Well, you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, which airs every day at 19:30. So be sure to tune in tomorrow to Anon Radio and listen to another episode. I'm sure it'll be awesome. Maybe I'll have spotted some more dudes. Who knows? My name's Tob. I'm just sitting here drinking peach mango Kool-Aid. It's so delicious. But I do have to leave you. So tune in tomorrow and we'll see what's up. The only thing left for me to do then is to say bye, 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 bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.